Hello, and welcome to a Walk Through the Word of the Lord series. My name is Jordan, and together throughout this series, we're going to be exploring the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Join us in the first few lessons as we talk about what makes the Bible unique and how we know there is a creator. From then on out, we're going to be examining the periods of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is split into four categories: the law, the history, the poetry, and the prophets. We'll be exploring each of these. Then we will get into the New Testament. We ask that if you have any questions, you would email us at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a comment and like us, so that we can get this out to as many people as possible. We are so glad that you have joined us. May God bless you richly. Hello, and welcome to a walk through the Word of the Lord. Before we begin lesson number 9, let's start with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to study the Word of God. We're asking you to speak to us, to give us understanding and revelation through your Word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm not going to do a lot of review in this lesson. We've done a lot of review, but the only things I'll point out is we're going through the Old Testament, and I did not mention this in the last lesson in review, but let me just remind you, there's four sections of the Old Testament. Right now, we're going through the law of Moses. We're still in the book of Genesis. We may be there for a little bit, but it's the law of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and then we have the books of history, which is Joshua through Esther. Then we have the books of poetry, which is Job through a Song of Solomon, and then we have the books of prophecy, which is Isaiah all the way through Malachi, and it covers about 3,600 years of man's history. Now, what I mentioned in the last lesson is we're also looking for Jesus in types and shadows, and we're going to see a lot of them throughout the story of Abram, but one thing I really want to point out about this is that God inspired Moses to write about 1,000 years or plus, actually more than 1,000 years in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. But then from Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 50, focuses on one man and on his family line, which tells us this is a very important man. So we mentioned that Terah was his father. And chapter 12 is where we're going to start. So I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, and we're going to start reading with verse number 1. Now the Lord had said, now that's something that's kind of interesting, and I'll point that out here in just a moment, that that God had dealt with Abram already, and we're going to deal with that here in a second, but it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Up to this point, God had been trying to deal with the entirety of mankind. But when mankind continually turned away from God, we see the results of that in the flood and ultimately at the Tower of Babel. So God changes tactics at this point, and he starts dealing with one man. Now, here's his plan. Does that mean he's going to ignore the rest of mankind? No. He's going to take one man that will serve him, one man that will obey his covenant. He's going to make a covenant with this one man, and through him, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. So it was God's initial intent for Abram to have a family. And through that family, God says, look, I'm going to take this one man that will serve me, and I'm going to bless the fire out of this one man. And then the world will see what it's like serving God and how blessed you could truly be if you'll just serve God. And then they'll come to me. So it was the will of God for Abram's family line to be like a priest to the world. It will take time to prove this a little bit more later on. But through Abram's family line, that's what Jesus is going to come through. All right. So that's a beautiful type of Jesus Christ, by the way, because through him, all nations of the world can come to salvation. All right, it says, I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, I want you to notice in particular, and I pointed it out already, the Lord had said unto Abram, verse 1. So he had said. Now, what did he tell him? He says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now I want you to keep your finger there, and we're going to flip over to the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Now here, in context, there's a man by the name of Stephen, who is a righteous man that is preaching to the Jewish high council. And you'll read what he's saying here. Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. It says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, watch, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. Now flip back. So keep that in mind. God spoke to him before he dwelt in Haran, and told him, get out from your kindred, from your father's house, is what we read in Genesis, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him from his land wherein ye now dwell. So let's read this again in this light. Genesis 12, flip back to Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now God nowhere told him to take his father with him. God nowhere told him to take his nephew with him, but we're going to find out he took his father, because it says, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Oops, he took somebody with him God didn't tell him to take with him. That's going to be a problem to him later on. Abram was 75 years old when he had departed out of Haran. Can I speak to somebody right now and say, it does not matter how old you are, God can still use you. God did not even speak to Abram until he was 75 years old. That tells us that you can still be used, even if you're 70 plus years old, even if you're 80, even if you're 90 years old, God can still use you. Now, for 75 years, apparently Abram didn't do anything worth writing about. But at 75 years old, God starts dealing with Abram, and he's going to become one of the greatest men in the Bible. Okay, notice this. It says, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that went, gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. All right, it says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. So I want you to notice something here. God told him, get out of your country, from your kindred, unto a land that I will show thee. God didn't tell them what kind of land it was going to be. God didn't tell him exactly where it was going to be. Abram operated in faith. Now, once you keep your finger there, let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. We've spent a lot of time in the book of Hebrews, and in particular, chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, remember, faith is simply taking God at his word, putting your trust in him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, or that word tabernacles actually means tents. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I want you to consider this here for just a second, all right? We're going to look at what made Abram so special. Why is it God would choose this one man to bless the fire out of him and to operate his family line, to operate almost like priests, to point the way to God to the rest of the world? Why would God bless him? Why would God decide, you know what? The Messiah is going to come through his family line. So we're going to be looking for indicators to see what it was about this man that God loved so much. All right. First thing is, he operated in faith. When God spoke, he obeyed. So the first thing I want you to notice is that he had faith in God that even though he didn't know where he was going. Look, he left an inheritance of his father's house to go and dwell in a land he didn't even know where he was going, and gave up a life of surety, a life where he would be assured the promises of his family inheritance, to dwell in nice houses, to apparently his father was a pretty rich man, to dwell in nice houses, to go out and dwell in tents, to go to a land he didn't even know he was going to. What drove him to do this? It was faith, faith in God. He didn't have any great promise other than God said, if you'll go, I'll bless you. And so, you know what? We don't even know like what kind of relationship he had with God at this moment, because what's interesting is his father, Terah, you can do some study in this, and I'm not going to take the time to give you all the resources, but you can actually find out that, oh yeah, they worshiped God, the God of the Old Testament, but they also worshiped other gods. He was in a family that practiced idolatry, that worshiped other gods, and they worshiped God as just one of many gods. But God called this man out specifically. He said, get out from your father's house. I don't want you dwelling in a household of idolatry. I cannot bless you, Abram, in your current environment. You've got to come out. And you're going to have to do it by faith, Abram, because I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about this land. All I'm going to say is, if you will come out, I will bless you. Can I say this? You may not know a whole lot about this Christian life, and right now you may be looking at the Christian life and saying, you know what? It looks like I'm going to have to give everything up. I may have to give up my relationships. I may have to give up some, a successful career, because maybe your career is driving you away from God. And right now you're looking at it and you're saying, but what promise do I have of a life with Jesus Christ? What do I have? It kind of reminds me of times where people would come to Jesus and said, Lord, I'll follow you. And he said, but first let me go and bury my father, or first let me go and go say goodbye to my family. And every time Jesus would say, hey, look, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And to the man, he said, let me go first bury my father. He said, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead. And he said, well, let me go bid, my father's house, all of them. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Just make your decision for Christ. Follow him. And leave the results in the hands of God. Okay? So here's what I want you to notice. He obeyed. That's the first thing that caused him to be blessed. All right? Now watch, here's what I want you to notice. Verse 7, this tells us the second reason God blessed him. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Secondly, he builds altars. He prays. First of all, he obeys God when God speaks. He has faith in God. Second of all, he is a man of prayer. That's the second reason he was blessed. He was a man of prayer. You know what prayer is? Prayer is simply talking to God. That's really all it is. It's talking to the Lord. Now, it can go deeper than that, but it's talking to God. Can I ask you, are you a person of prayer? Build a relationship with God today. Build altars in your life. Pray. Seek God. God will bless you if you seek him. First of all, when God spoke, he obeyed. Second of all, he prayed. Watch this. Verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Notice that term Bethel. You know what the term Bethel means? It means house of God. Can I put it this way? He went to church. You want to be blessed of God? Go to church. Go to church. Be among people of like precious faith. I hear so many people say, well, God will bless me. It doesn't matter if I go to church or not. You know, no preacher's going to tell me what to do, and I'm just going to sit out here and do my own thing and create my own religion, and it's just going to be me and God out on the fishing dock. Can I tell you? That's not scriptural. The very last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. Guess who it was written to? To the churches at Asia Minor. There were still churches going on in the book of Revelation. And Jesus spoke to the churches as a whole, by the way, not to individuals. And you know who the letter was written to? To the angels, or to the messengers of the seven churches. So there were preachers in that day that were pastoring these churches. God spoke to the pastors, and it was a responsibility of the pastors to deliver the message of God to the church. You know what? You may say, well, God's spoken to me before out here on the boondocks. Yeah, God may speak to you out there, but he wants you to get to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. as the day of the approaching of the coming of Jesus draws nigh, hey, look, get to church all the more. Fellowship with people of like faith, precious faith. The Bible says, bury you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You need people around you to encourage you, to pray with you, to help you. So number one, he obeyed God. Number two, he was a man of prayer. Number three, he went to church. Watch. And he removed from thence, verse 8, unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, which means the house of God, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar. There it is again. You're going to see a lot of altars. And called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram, now here's the first mistake we're going to really read that Abram did. Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Up to this point, we've seen that everything God tells Abram to do, he's obeying it. God tells him, get out from your father's house into a land. Now, he did try to take his father with him, but his father died. You can read again in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, that this is the case. But when his father dies, he does go, but he takes Lot with him. However, he's being obedient to God. He's building altars. He's praying. He's going to church. He's going to Bethel. He builds this place called House of God, and there he builds an altar, and he prays unto God. That tells us, by the way, it's the will of God not only to pray at home, but to pray at church. More on that later, perhaps. But then when a famine comes, when difficulty comes to his life, he leaves the will of God. God never spoke to him to tell him to go into Egypt. It says, Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, to stay there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass. Now, does any good come out of this? Absolutely not. By the way, when you read Egypt in the Bible, it is a type of the world. There's many things I could say about that, but I'm going to leave it for the time being because we're going to be spending a lot more time there to prove that point. So it says, enter into Egypt. So, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, so a type of the world, says that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. They say, well, that was partial truth. Yeah, it was his sister, but it was his half-sister. But here's the deal. Notice that when he leaves the will of God, the house of God, Bethel, and he goes down to the world, he automatically has to lie to fit in. He has to lie to preserve his own life. So can I say this? The more worldly you become, the more you seek to fit in, the more you're going to have to live a lie. If God is calling on you and trying to draw you into a relationship with him, in order to fit in this world, you're going to have to live a lie. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then chapter 7, verse number 1 says, having these promises, therefore, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what it tells us is we need to come out from the world. So when you try to follow Christ, don't try to hold on to the world. That's why Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't try to live half for Jesus and half for the world. Stay in Bethel. Stay in the house of God. Don't go to Egypt. Don't go to the world. You're going to have to live a lie if you're in Egypt. Now watch. Where did this lie get him? Did it spare him like he planned on? Watch. All right. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 12, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the world, the Egyptians, the worldly people, beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house of her own will, of her own accord. Of course not. Now notice, he lied to preserve his own life, but it didn't pay off because Pharaoh stole his wife away. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants. Watch this. And maid servants. I want you to notice what his lie got him. It got him prosperity, but it took his wife away from him. If you go to the world, listen, you may prosper. You may get a great job and you may become a creature of well-renowned. And you may have a lot of pleasure by worldly standards and you may have a lot of money. But guess what? it's going to steal your future away too. His wife was away from him and they didn't have any children yet. And you know what? All of God's promises to Abram hinged upon the birth of Isaac, his son, who was to come. The family line of Christ is at stake. The future of the world is at stake, folks. I want you to think about this. And here's Abram prospering, growing off of his lie, dwelling in the world. God doesn't want him to stay there. So his wife, the woman that's going to bear the son, that's going to bring about Christ in the future, is in Pharaoh's house. Boy, this is quite the predicament, isn't it? And here's Abram prospering off of his lie. And notice one of the things he got was maid servants. Keep that in the back of your mind because we're going to talk about that later. Verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore behold thy wife to take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away. They sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So you know what? Abram now is forced to go back on his journey because he's not where God wants him to be. God didn't want him staying in the world. Can I say this? Don't make God have to deal with you in harsh terms and measures to get your attention. You know, folks, I've seen it happen so many times where I'm trying to work with somebody. I'm trying to witness to them. I'm trying to talk to them. And they get to a certain point where they realize they've got to give up their bondage. They've got to walk away from the world. And they say, you know what? I'm not willing to do that. You know what? They go back to their lifestyle of sin. But pretty soon, sickness hits. Cancer comes. Familial problems happen to them. All of a sudden, they start to lose that job and they start to lose their successes. That's what happened to Abram. Because God doesn't want them staying in the world. Don't make God have to deal with you in harsh measures. Just obey his word. Come out from the world. Be separate from the world. All right. Chapter 13 and verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Here it is again. Notice, now the scripture does not waste words. Okay? Scripture does not waste words. This is now the second time this phrase is used, and Lot went with him. So Lot keeps going with him. God didn't tell him to bring Lot with him. Into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, the house of God. So finally, he gets back to the house of God. Now that trouble has come into his life, it drives him back to the house of God. If there's trouble in your life, let it drive you to where you need to be. Go to the house of God. Lay it on the altar before the Lord. It says, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. I love what scripture tells us. It doesn't mince words. It tells us Abram finally got back to where he was supposed to be, to where he was at the beginning. He goes back to the house of the Lord between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. So he goes back to the house of God and he goes back to prayer. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now he's praying again. He's calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. He's elbow to elbow with Abram at the altar. And he's being blessed because he's with Abram. But watch this. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Notice, because he took somebody with him, God didn't tell him to take with him, there's strife. Can I say this? Maybe you want to live for God, but there's a relationship you're just not willing to let go of. I'm not telling you about, leave your family, leave, whatever. But please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But maybe there's a friend you're holding on to that you're trying to live for God. And or at least you want to live for God. That's your intent. You really want to get to church, but this is the person holding you back. Don't let a relationship hold you back from God. For as long as you try to, reach for God with one hand and pull on somebody with the other hand that's going the opposite direction from what you are, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be strife. All right, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now there's kind of some interesting things here. It says it looked like the garden of the Lord, but what it says is it was like the land of Egypt. So it kind of tells us it's the type of the world. Remember Egypt. So it's like the world. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, there's strife going on in Abram's life because he tried to take somebody with him God told him not to take with him. What happens when Lot separates from him? Watch. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, that's very important, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So I want you to notice something. God speaks to him after Lot separated from him. And I want you to ask yourself, do you have a relationship in your life right now that is keeping God from dealing with you? Ask yourself that. Maybe it's time. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, divorcing a spouse. I'm not talking about, walking away from certain individuals that are really, you know, like your family or whatever. But what I am saying is maybe you have a friendship. Maybe you have a close relationship, somebody that's close to you that is hindering your walk with God. Hey, look, what's more important, them or God? Ask yourself that question. It says, after that Lot was separated him, God spoke to him. And then he starts telling him about promises. Look everywhere, Abram. This is all going to be yours. He says, and he tells him about the dust of the earth. I'm going to make your seed like the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall also thy seed be numbered. So somebody might say, well, we can number the children of Israel. While that's true, the Bible tells us we're all children of Abraham according to the promise if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're in him. And so what this tells us is, yeah, you can't number the seed throughout history of the children that have come both physically and spiritually from the loins of Abraham. All right? Abram is still his name at this time. So we're going to go now to chapter number 14. I'm going to skip over a lot of stuff where Lot gets taken captive and Abram goes after him and gains him back. The only thing I'll say about that is, you know, Lot got captured and there was a war that took place and Abram had to take time out of his busy schedule to go win Lot back. And so once again, we see, you know, it's like he's wanting to serve God. He's wanting to do the things of God. And this relationship with Lot keeps drawing him back and distracting him. But then after that, he leaves Lot in Sodom. We find out Lot dwells in Sodom, and that plays an important role later on. But after this battle, there's something that's very interesting that I want to point out. Now remember, why has God blessed Abram? Again, I'm going to keep being redundant, but I want to drive this point home. Number one, when God spoke, he obeyed. He was a man of faith. Number two, he was a man of prayer. Number three, he went to the house of God. But number four, I want you to notice something. Now this is Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now I want you to notice verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And verse 19 says he blessed him. But then what happened? Abram gave him tithes of all. Now, why did he do this? The Bible tells us that Melchizedek was somebody that had neither father nor mother. He was a type of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You can read that in Hebrews chapter number 7, where, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 1. Hebrews 7 and verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of priests. So he was known as the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Well, what is Jesus referred to? And is Isaiah 9 and 6? What it says is, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible calls him our righteousness. So you know what? Jesus is our righteousness. He is our Prince of Peace. So Melchizedek is a type of Christ. And what did Abraham do? He gave him tithes of all. He gave him tithes of all. So number 4 reason God blessed him, he was a giver. He was a giver. That's another reason. You know, so many people say, well, ain't no preacher going to get my money. Ain't no church going to get my money. Well, let me read a verse of scripture to you. This is found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse 19 is where we're going to begin. Lay it not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have you ever heard that phrase? Put your money where your mouth is. What they're saying is, prove what you're saying by how much you give. Back up what you're saying. Don't just say, I believe in this. Give to the cause. Put your money where your mouth is. Can I say this? Put your money where your heart is. If you truly say that you believe in God and you love God, why aren't you showing it monetarily? Why aren't you giving? So many people say, well, you know, that church, how do I know what that preacher's gonna do with that money? Hey, that's between him and God. But why don't you give to the cause of Christ? Give. If you're not giving anything to God and you're taking all your money and you're spending it on things that please you, guess what? You're worshiping yourself. These are harsh words, I know. But I'm speaking the truth to you, just like Jesus told us. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Abraham was a giver, and that's why God blessed Abraham. So that's where we're going to end this lesson. So I mentioned 4 things about Abram, the reason why God blessed him. When God spoke, he obeyed. He was a man of faith. Number 2, he was a man of prayer. He often built altars. Number 3, he went to church. He went to the house of God. Bethel was the house of God. That's where he dwelled for a time, okay? And then number 4, Abram was a giver. He paid his tithes to Melchizedek, who was a type of Jesus Christ. Well, let's end with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to be able to study the Word of God. I'm asking that you would bless everybody under the sound of my voice. God, draw us close to you. God, I want to be a man of faith. God, I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a man that goes to church, and I want to be a giver. Help us, Lord Jesus, to obey your word as you speak to us, not to hold on to relationships that would hold us back. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. Please join us in the next lesson. Thank you so much for listening to A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. We hope that you will continue to listen as we go throughout the series. If you have any questions, please email us at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Once again, that is BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.